And if there are no other questions in regards to that item, I'd move on to our last item of discussion. Discussion and possible action on development proposals at Possum Kingdom. Kent Rendy.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, before we start this, I'd just like to say to Sean and Peggy Gibson, in Sean's earlier comments, that I will go back personally with Mike and look at the November 03 proposal that Sean referred to, as well as Mike's response back to him in regards to my comments at the 8 May meeting, take a look at that and review that, and bring anything of substance that way. Certainly, if I need in any way to redirect or re-correct what I may have said, I'll certainly do that at the 31 May board meeting anyway. So we'll look at that and come back to you with that.
Yeah. May I say something? Because that's a very, very important, I think, that we need to clear that up, because the vote was very, very close on that proposal. And yeah. I think the board needs to know what is the actual facts on it.
We'll certainly do that. Go ahead, next slide, if you would, Jennifer. Committee is, and board, as you recall, saw that certainly with the phase three, recommended that we move forward with the strategic vision master plan. On the 8th of May, we brought to you some developers from PK and Granberry, specifically here at PK, and let you see what their proposals were at that time. Since then, we've received in writing two specific detailed proposals, one from Syntex Destination Properties, and Brady Lowry spoke earlier today. He is here with us as well. And the other from Clearview Properties, Craig Walker, who is in the audience as well. Both of those proposals, as we move forward, look very much and very hard, I think, at much of the previous planning from the TDA plan, whatever may have been within that. Staubach's recommendations in that as well within phase three as they move forward. And clearly delineate much of that in line with it in our shoreline management guide. Next slide, please. Specific to the Syntex proposal on the Willingham Ranch, it's roughly about 161 acres of BRA authority shoreline that is involved with that. And that shoreline area is key and really to that entire development for that to happen. I might say I believe that some directors have received phone calls from the family associated with that. They've been at numerous meetings here. Jed and Joni Edwards, I received calls. Specifically, the last call that I got, they pretty much were very adamant about ceasing this development process on their property and said the family was looking at going back to oil and gas in that. I feel like at least need to tell the rest of the board that hadn't received calls, especially from them, that initially, about 3 weeks ago, was the position that they had taken. However, Syntex is working with them. They had a 13 July, which is in about 3 days, closing date with the family, with, as I understand, Brady, options within their agreement with them to extend 30 days beyond that, 3 30-day extensions, to take a look at the development overall and the proposals that they had within. So we pretty much are going under the assumption that Syntex is going to continue to pursue that. That's what they told us yet. The extension period's in here. But a conversation that, that Phil had along with three or four other folks with Syntex about a little over two weeks ago was such that the critical part of this development for them really is to know pretty much what the lease and the financials, therefore, that will go with that to see if, in fact, over the next 3 months, that will work for them and long run what they think for the homeowners association that is going to work with the lease of that property if the board so decides to lease that. So what we're doing today with these two issues is at least to bring it to you and let you see the timelines involved and what's involved and hopefully to get the okay to continue negotiating with each of these entities as they try to move forward with their projects. This pretty much outlines what Syntex would do with the shoreline, pretty much preserving what we have down there in many regards with trails and trailheads and that, some beaches, specifically public restrooms and that, that would be open in some areas to the public. And again, all that pretty much complies with our boating capacity study and the shoreline management plan. You have in front of you what they delivered on Friday as well, their proposal as far as dry stack storage, to a certain degree what they'd be looking at and how that might interplay as well with the development. There would be FERC approval that would be required yet, and they're aware of that. Next slide. Again, that's key, the first bullet there for them. That October 11th date was the date that we had received from them in our phone conversation as kind of almost a drop-dead date where they either had to commit or not. We made it very clear, and I think you see in the cover letter that's in there, they were looking for something from the board, reference a lease, on the 1st of August, which had been the 31 July board meeting. However, I have talked to them. Phil, I think, made it very clear with Syntex that we would not have, if it's July board, a finalized lease or financial write-out of that with that lease at that board meeting, that we will work very hard if the board so intends and wants us to do that, to move forward with that over the next couple months to try to have something done to reach their deadline there. And it may be that what we bring to the board, timing-wise, is going to be very close to committee date time in the October time frame to help that work, if that be the case, if the board wants to do that. Next slide. For Clearview properties, we've got two different areas, and I'll bring a little map up for you. I think you have it in your book as well. I'm not sure, delineate a little bit clearer for you. Harbor Area 3, which is roughly about 2 acres of our property within Country Harbor Village on the lake side there that borders it. That area right there was previously reserved for a lease by contract in the 1997 agreement with Clearview. We just had not worked a lease proposal with them, and Craig is ready to do that at this juncture and they can move forward with that. Harbor Area 4, which is about a little over 2.5 acres, there is no agreement per se by contract like in Harbor Area 3, but he's very interested in moving forward with that as well for some type of lease proposal and the finances associated with that. Next slide. And again, in both places, Harbor Area 3 and 4, this is pretty much what he is proposing, Clearview anyway, open space, landscape plantings and lighting and trails and that. And we would bring a lease forward after, if approval, to continue negotiating to you probably in the October time frame if we can work that deadline in a way to make that work for Clearview on that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Didn't the Staubach report phase 3 recommend that Harbor Area 4 remain available for public use?
They did, and under their recommendation.
And are we deviating from that recommendation at this point?
Well, I think at this point we haven't agreed yet with them. I think Clearview's intent is to not have, based on what, once you bring that slide up, Jennifer, the backup slide, I believe Clearview's intent is to not have that open for public access based on a development there. And Craig or Mike, if you want to speak a little bit more, Roscoe, you too as well.
The director here, the cover is for what he said was, Topak said, was not abrogated rights to public access to that land. Yes.
Well, if I recall correctly, you were fairly animated about your position, that you really felt that we needed to maintain those rights.
I absolutely see that.
Okay.
But I think just for the board's clarification, I believe that the intent is to not necessarily have that area that is leased by Clearview as open clearly to the public. The 50-foot FERC setback line would remain that way, Mike, though, within that.
Where does the public trails that they install, where do they go on this map?
in the purple area to the in the upper left-hand corner there, you see the peninsula that kind of sticks out there. There you go. All the coast, the shoreline inland from there. There you go. Out and around. Out there.
Right,
a little farther.
It actually goes around to the next tip. It's out of the purple arrow next to the green.
That's correct.
It goes out to the very end of that tip.
So it goes out to the very end where that green tip is?
The next one. The
green arrow.
The
next one.
Arrow, yeah.
All the way out to the tip.
No, it keeps going.
Go all the way out to the tip. I can see it on there.
The purple goes right to there.
You see it?
Okay, so what's the green? What's the green area?
The green was an existing cottage lease that predated 1997 when we entered into our city. And we converted. We did two things. There's one.
Well, I'll let you use it. Craig, I was looking for it.
He let you say it.
When we entered into our development agreement, there were two areas that were cottage lease. This area here was green, which denoted existing cottage lease. And the BRA requested, and this had a mobile home on it, they requested that we change the use from existing cottage to commercial to connect this commercial area. This lease was a second existing cottage lease here, and the green existing cottage extended there. So this purple, and that approximates a 25-foot setback right there. That area was existing cottage. The BRA's request, which we agreed to, was to extend the Harbor Area 1 lease, which is commercial and open to the public, to this point right here. And we did that at that time.
So there's nothing out on the green area now?
No, that is an existing cottage lease. That's correct.
Okay, so there's a home on it now?
No, it's vacant land, and we have the right in our development agreement to construct up to 14 condominium units.
Okay.
Then, by way of history, Harbor Area 3 starts here, and all this information was in the packet that we provided each of the board members at your last meeting, May 8th. Harbor Area 3, our development agreement, provides that we have the right to enter into up to 12 separate cottage leases. And there's the dividing line between Harbor Area 3 and Harbor Area 4. Our development agreement provides that we can, and also just the existing cottage lease has a 25-foot setback. The future cottage lease has a 50-foot setback, and you see how it steps back, and that's that red dash line there. But we have a right to enter into up to 12 cottage leases and build up to the 50-foot setback. We have no agreement, absolutely no agreement with the Brazos River Authority with regard to Harbor Area 4, other than to provide public access to it and other than an invitation by Mr. Ford and Randy and Iltis and Lordly Ballin to make a proposal to lease it. I don't know the date of that. It was several years ago. Make us a proposal, and that's what we've done. Our development plan, we have agreed with the staff's recommendation. Instead of taking advantage of the right to build to the 50-foot line, we've decided to go with the open space designation, and build any residential product would be on the deeded line, which is here, would be behind it. and that we, I do, one thing in the written request, I think we requested a pool, swimming pool, and it was a little bit longer list on the proposed uses here that would be available to members of this community. So we're along with that, we're requesting in Harbor Area 4 here that we do the open space type use and that we eliminate the public road access as part of that proposal.
Craig, and I don't want to misrepresent anything. That's never my intent at all. I think I heard you say, though, that Public Area 4, you had intended for public access, but I didn't think that you did want that, in fact, with 4. Did you say that?
Harbor Area 4, we have no agreement with the BRA at this time that precludes public access.
Right. If you were to be involved, and we are to be involved with a lease with you, if the board so desires that, your intent of that
absolutely
lease is to not provide public access.
And the thinking of that is when we made this deal, we eliminated private use of this through existing cottage to connect. And another thing is that we have put in our walk trail. We were required to build a trailhead and public restrooms. I welcome any of the board or committee to come see our public restroom. We're proud of them. It's actually an old log cabin, and it's not just your standard cinder block state park bathroom. That's located here. And we built a trailhead here, and then we were asked by the BRA to tear it down and move it, which we did. We moved it over by the restrooms. And now we have parking spaces, a trailhead, and the public restrooms that begin here. So we took away existing cottage here, connected the public use, and also this trail here comes through Scenic Cove and connects to the new Possum Kingdom hike and bike trail. So all of that public use area is clustered here and connected, and as requested by the BRA, was taken further into existing cottage and protrudes out to this point. We differ with Staubach. We disagree with their characterization of this as future public use, and I provided to the board the Procter & Bauer study, the TVA study, all the old maps that predated Staubach characterized this as, and it was actually labeled as future cottage lease on your maps. And so that's what it was designated here on the, this map is an exhibit to our development agreement. So we think it makes more sense to have connected all of this and hopefully to redevelop Scenic Cove, connected to the trail, Scenic Cove, all this walk trail, public, and then let existing cottage, future cottage, what for most of history was designated as future cottage. And then, by the way, this is cottage lease. So it's just a matter of grouping cottage lease and public use. But we're perfect. Having said that, we're perfectly happy to. It's just we'd like a response. We've requested a response. We've been invited to make a proposal. We've done that. We proposed a very limited impact, no buildings other than just walk trails, fire pit, picnic table, a little stuff like that in here. We would only build behind it. And as such, we've provided public access to the trail, and we don't see a reason to provide public access to this point if we recharacterize the use as, special use. Go to a special use here.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that map. I mean, it seems to me that
Walker's developments on all sides of it. So it would make sense for him to incorporate that into his. I'm looking at the map. Now, I mean, we've got a recommendation from our consultant that says that needs to be maintained for public use and that it has value for public use. I guess my question is, you know, I don't know. I wish I could see that pointer from where I'm sitting, but it's going to have to get a lot bigger for me to do it. So I lost you a couple times. But on the green point,
right here?
I mean, is there a way to get something on the green point if we give something up on Harbor Area 4 for the public, since the public has access to that point anyway?
Well, I'll respond. I feel like we've already given it the office. I mean, we gave up existing cottage lease here to extend the public beyond existing. I could have put one house there, one private house. We negotiated in our development agreement for the right to put up to 14 condominiums.
I understand that, Craig, but I mean, we're talking about renegotiations here. So I'm saying if we give over here, can we give over here? That's
fine. Clearly, anything, we don't have a right to anything. We have an obligation to you to provide a road and public access.
Okay.
And the BRA has waived that requirement for a physical road here. Because if you'll study the packet that I provided the board previously, it shows you the history of not really knowing what to do with this. And they had always designated it as future cottage lease. Then in one of the maps on exhibit, they changed it to BRA operations. Not necessarily public use, but BRA operations, which in your packet is yellow, and it's uses like the airport, a water tower, a sewer collection station, and I just don't see those type of uses going on. And the dam area is BRA operations. And they've thrown this piece into BRA operations. And so I just don't, it doesn't complement our use. It's BRA operations stuck between existing cottage, future cottage, existing cottage. I've already provided expanded areas for the public here. Mile-long walk trail, extended the trail. I built the best trailhead and restroom. Happy to have you over to our restroom.
I've been there. It's a great place.
Thank you.
Especially when you need it. Well, Phil, I guess at the next meeting, can we have some sort of recommendation from the staff?
And responding to your, I'll discuss anything as it relates to this. The world's open, and I'm happy to make a deal with the BRA.
Okay.
And we'll discuss anything you'd like to, and we're perfectly happy. If we can't make a deal, we'll just abide by, you know, our responsibility, provide a road, and leave it like it is. So it's totally up to you guys.
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
The board is that BRA operation was established. When did you make that agreement? 1997, is that right?
Yes, sir. Our development agreement was in 1997. That's correct.
And I would like to clarify, I don't want Craig, he's a good guy. I don't want him to speed too much here. We haven't waived the public road access through his area. We just haven't pressed the test to have him provide that. That was basically in there, but we haven't. And I think what you heard him say earlier was that if, you know, his plan would be if he keeps that Harbor Area 4 kind of as is and not develop on it with him as far as housing and that, he'd like to see that requirement of that road to go away. That's what I think I heard you say.
Right. We have a development plan where our residential properties are on the deeded land, and our request is to lease Harbor Area 4 for an open space, special use, limited impact development, i.e. walk trail, fire pit, benches, maybe a little pavilion, you know, picnic pavilion.
Another bathroom.
If you got to have another bathroom, we have very low usage rate on the one that we have. But if we need another one, you know, we've got the plans for the bathroom. But the idea would be at that time, we would then, we would be relieved of the obligation to build a road through a gated community, you know, to the public. You have not waived my obligation to provide access for the public over a road through our development to your BRA operation site.
Just a point, sir.
You haven't waived it. However, we are operating under an extension. We've had a series of extensions until you're ready to do something here. My understanding is we're continuing to operate under an extension of us having to build that physical road. If anybody wants to come over there, you're happy, we'll get you in, happy to provide access at any time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a proposal or a resolution at this point? Can we see that, please?
Mr. Chairman, before we go to the proposal, I want to say something about I'm one of the officers who received a call from one of these developers. And I take calls from constituents quite seriously, particularly when they start talking about the staff is ignoring, getting run around, and all the various things. And I take it quite seriously. My policy is if somebody gives me a call, I'm going to refer it to Phil to give me an answer. I said, the case of this day, I was given information. We've got to have it by July the 10th. We're going to lose $500,000. We're getting the runarounds and all these things. None of those proves to be fact. And my point is, my policy at least is, when I get a call like that, I will call Phil, the CEO, and I want a solution. And when the staff informs me that it's in process, that's as far as I'm going to take it. I'm not going to intervene in what is going on with the staff and any place in our basin, because we get calls and letters like this, and I, for one, I'm not going to interfere with what Phil and his staff are doing. They have their own timelines. Once I'm satisfied that something is in the process, and I'm satisfied that no, they're not being ignored, and I get in the runaround, that's as far as I'm going to take it personally. And I think for all of our constituents that have information to bring to us officers, that's my procedure, and I think that most of us will abide by that.
Yeah, I think we have been.
I'm not going to interfere in what they're doing. As I find, if I call this, and Phil and Mr. Rennie says, negotiations are in process as we speak. Yet the call says, we're getting to run around, no one listening to it.
Right.
So I'm not going to take it beyond that. I don't think they ever should.
Okay.
I just want to make it clear.
It was not you.
Yeah, I was going to make it clear by the timing of the comment that there's no one from our office contacting the board member. We want to continue our 11-year relationship.
It's not a matter of policy. I'm not going to go to lobby for any of you.
We work with the staff and let them tell us when there's a meeting
that occurs
above that.
Nobody from Syntex Destination Properties has called and made a phone call of that nature. We have worked with the staff. We have been a pleasure to work with, and I think Mike and Kent and Phil will tell you that Syntex Destination Properties has gone right down the line with a request from the BRA. We've done exactly what the plan said. We've followed the timelines to the letter. We just have significant amounts of money that have to be paid before October for those things to kick in, and with that, there is no reassurances of what the value of those leases will be prior to us spending significant amounts of money.
Okay.
But that gives us a priority to get the negotiations done.
Okay. We have a resolution in front of us, and before I entertain a motion, Phil and Steve and I have talked, and I'd like to ask for an amendment to be made to this resolution, where it says, be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to negotiate and approve development proposals. I would like to just take out the approval process. Personally, from where I stand, I believe the approval process for something that materially affects Possum Kingdom is the Board's responsibility. And I would really like to take that away from Phil, not that he certainly can't handle that process, but I believe that that's a function of the board and a function that we need to maintain. Can I have some
discussion on that issue, please?
Would a word like recommend development proposals submitted by developers be a probably a little bit more along the lines of what we've visited about?
Yeah, and you know, from my line of business, I negotiate a lot of leases for owners. But I never sign the leases. It is the owner's responsibility to approve the final product and to put their stamp of approval on it. And that takes me away from an uncomfortable position, and I don't want to put Phil in that position. So negotiate and recommend, negotiate and submit or whatever.
Propose or whatever. Is there any other comments?
Yeah, are we talking about 25 or are we talking about just two? Because if we're talking about 25, I think we ought to have the staff and Phil to do it. If we're talking about two that are major developments, then maybe they need to come to the board. But I don't want us to keep having to do these kinds of things. Well, and I trust Phil.
But I think what we're doing is when we have, and whether, and right now it's just a couple, but if we had a bunch of developers coming forward, I think Phil's position is going to be to handle all the nuts and bolts and to bring us a finished product to put his stamp of, put our stamp of approval on. I don't want to be in the negotiation process. I don't want to be, I believe the staff is more than capable to handle all of that. But I think when it comes down to final approval and acceptance of issues that relate to Possum Kingdom and frankly our financial interests, that those decisions need to be finally, the board needs to put a stamp of approval on it. So I hear what you're saying. I don't want to get involved in negotiations, and I don't want to have to do all that work either. And I think what we're saying is we want Phil to do all the work, and we want him to bring us his recommendations and review from there.
I have a couple of questions, okay. Mr. Chairman. What constitutes a formal and an informal request when we know we've heard from other folks who plan developments, so on and so forth? So I understand from what we received that there are some informal proposals. What is an informal and a formal? What's the difference?
In our view, I think, is what we look for is a detailed written proposal from the developers in this case of what their plans are and what they intend to do, not an informal verbal or provided request that really isn't in a detailed nature that would allow us at least and allow Mike to evaluate it from his view and then bring it forward to myself and Phil here subsequently and the staff.
And going back to what we had seen earlier from Roscoe in terms of an overall master plan, in terms of procedures, is there a formal process in place now that's understandable by developers, understandable by the staff, or is that something that we'll be working on also? Because I'm like, Gene, what's the difference?
I don't think we really have an established process here, Mike. I mean, you've got one that you use up there. I mean, as far as them coming forward with a detailed written plan to you with the process, I think they understand that. And it's in the guide, too.
Sure, I did.
Yeah, that is true.
Commercial law details. Requirements for commercial contractors come in to make formal.
That's correct.
And that's under a heading that's called formal versus informal.
I don't have my copy with me.
But is that the formal?
That would be formal, correct.
What would be an informal?
On any given day, I have people in my office. And they'll come up, and I'm sure the same thing happens down here, that somebody will call up and say, well, you know, I'm thinking about making Disneyland in Texas, and possibly King of Truman's looks like a nice place to do it. And so they'll discuss it in general terms, and they'll come in and they'll go out, and there's nothing ever really committed to paper in terms of their proposal, and that's kind of what I would consider an informal proposal. We know that there's something out there potentially, but we don't have any level of detail enough to actually even staff it.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask if that also has to be not only documented, I'm going to use the term, but signed off on by an officer of the company that or whoever's somebody's got the authority to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
I disagree with the amendment. It is an old-time view from the very beginning of this thing that the general manager, CEO, be authorized by us to negotiate and to approve. We've adopted a master plan. We're in the process of moving along, and all the time, 2.5 years, 3 years that we've been here, I don't want to be sitting here looking at the strip of land and green dot up there and trying to make a decision on it. This is for the staff of the GM, CEO, to decide for us. If there is a problem, dispute, or unresolvable, then, yeah, we'll take a look at it. But I think I'm with Director Thompson. We don't need to be in this business. We have a GM, CEO, and now we got a consultant. We got a full staff to handle these things for us. I'd like to leave it as it is and approve it for the general manager, CEO, to negotiate and approve development proposals. That's my view.
I have a question, and it's not regarding your amendment to the resolution, but it's regarding the overall process of proposals that have been submitted for development and how that gels with when we have a final master plan. Are we preempting the master plan? I see it that we have time then to consider all of these other. Are these other developers aware of the fact that they now have the opportunity to submit a formal proposal before the master plan is finalized? This is a larger question than just the resolution.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. Since I've been here my 75 years, we have put off trying to get the board, and we have put off saying we need a master plan. The answer is we needed an approved master plan 25 years ago, but we didn't get it. We don't have one. So to tell the people that are out there who have money involved, time is money, so, well, we'll get to you back in 20 years, Greg. Have a nice day. I'll see you around. Are you still my friend? Build me another bathroom. The answer is no. And so we're trying to mesh, and we're going to have to make some decisions, and we're going to take some risk as a board, I think, that says these two things we're talking about now are in, to the best of our knowledge, according to fulfilling the intent of the master plan, and we should go ahead. Timing is everything. And people had their stuff together and be ready to have been here, but then they would have been in line as well. However, they weren't.
But were they aware of the process?
There wasn't a process.
Were they aware of the timing?
Don't know. I can't, that's an open-ended question.
Well, their name's right here.
These people have talked to the staff, I guess, but they don't have any beyond talking.
Well, what I'm just saying is these other people, Allen and Ritchie, the Gainspan, City Point, Lakeview Lodge, Bluff Creek, Marina, have they submitted anything in writing?
The only one, we had late breaking news last week, on Thursday afternoon late, Allen Ritchie did deliver to my office something in writing for dry stack storage, 500 units, and a ramp crossing our property. But very, very, very sketchy. However, we did get that in writing. A lot of the others, we know that either they have proposed or we suspect that they probably will repropose if they need to reorganize. There's some others that you just know because they come in and chat with you that potentially they're going to drop something.
So the information is for those folks that they could also submit a formal proposal before the national plan has been decided by the board. I just wanted to make that clear. Is that correct?
I'm really not following your logic about, are we doing wrong? Something wrong?
No, I'm just asking if that's correct. In here it says, informal proposals for lease authority property or water access interests, which are known to exist, but for which the authority has yet to receive a formal proposal, and it names them, include those. All of these have the potential to develop, redevelop within the time before a new master plan is approved. That was in the background information given to the board members regarding the resolution. And I was just trying to clear that up, and did these folks know about that?
Can I respond to that, Phil?
Sure.
I think what you're raising is really the fundamental underlying point. I mean, the question is, We all recognize that we need a master plan. Needed one a long time ago, need one now. The question is, from an organizational standpoint, do you stand firm and say today to developers, we're not going to go forth with developments in terms of granting you that water access? Because in reality, on a fee simple land, they can pretty much do what they want to do, sans the fact that most people want to negotiate with us because they need the water access. You could arguably take the position that we're not going to go forth with granting anything until we complete the process of the master plan. I think what staff's saying to you is, we anticipate that we need to move out expeditiously on the master plan, but it's not going to happen that quick. And we have been in the throes of talking to developers over time, understanding that there's folks out there that want to get moving. So I think the contemplation was by this resolution, it's probably not exactly correct, but during the time prior to adopting that master plan, we do think developers can come in and move forth on what they're doing. We're not going to put everything on hold. But I think that's part of the direction that we needed to get from the board. Is that okay? Are y'all comfortable with the concept of us continuing to talk and negotiate with these people? I will tell you that I spoke with one attorney for one developer. This is probably a month ago. Kent and I did. And what we told him at that time was there's some really substantive issues that are going to be decided here. And this was, of course, before the last meeting. And the issues at that time were, you know, we're waiting for the outcome of the Staubach report. We're waiting to find out what the boating capacity says. Those are things that until we get that, we can't tell you much. Now that we have those, I think from a staff perspective, we feel better armed to answer the questions because we can anticipate a lot of what the master plan is going to say. But the fact of the matter is we might approve a development now that may be ultimately in conflict with the master plan. But the question is, do you want to stymie development at this point, or are you comfortable moving forward in light of the fact that we have a pretty good idea? I think having Roscoe on the team and having his understanding of the discussions about where the master plan needs to go will help us avoid kind of those pitfalls when we make that recommendation.
I think to answer your question simply is if they were on that list, they were notified, or we would know that they knew about the deal. So the answer to your question is yes, ma'am.
Well, your proposal is to eliminate and approve. I agree with you.
Let me just back up a little bit, because if we could fill the authority to approve a development and another developer feels slighted, it's all going to be on our plate anyway. Phil's going to have the ability to go out and negotiate the deal and come to us and say, this is the deal, this is the package that I'm presenting, and we look at it and we say yes or no. And if we say yes or no, then the buck stops with us. If Phil says yes or no, then these people are going to end up in this room anyway, and we're going to have to go back and then we're going to be ended up doing all the work that we're trying to avoid. So when it comes time to affecting authority-owned lands and the future plans for the lake and our bottom dollar, I think the ultimate decision rests with the board. And not to circumvent the staff, because the staff will be 99.9% of this thing, but I think the final vote has to be this board and future boards. I don't want a future board coming in here and say, you know, that was his mistake. You know, go find Phil somewhere, or the next manager who makes this based on the best. That has to be a board decision, I think. And that was the basis for my reasoning. Not to negotiate, not to get the nuts and bolts, not that. I've had enough of that.
Well, I wanted to say something. I completely support the staff. I was just asking a question because a lot of questions popped into my mind about these things. And, of course, we're concerned that we do the best that we can for all the entities involved in VRA and the people in the state of Texas. So questions that come to my mind, it is not in any way an affront to the staff. It's merely informational.
I guess one of the things that I think probably hanging this up, if we're talking about a real small item that want to make a dribble in the business of the BRA over the next 50 years, we probably really would rather not be bothered with that. But when you talk about significant activities as big as these are, there's not that many of them. And I also buy into the fact that the board needs to be the final sign off on that. I'm not on this committee, but when it comes to the board, I would prefer to see that you have a resolution that says that the staff develops, negotiates, and recommends to us, because I think that's what we want them to do, but that we have the responsibility to finally sign off.
Chairman, I think it follows the same process you and I and other people have set on councils before it follows. I mean, there's P&Z process, there's a council process. The staff would always go make their recommendations.
Right.
Final vote is the people who have the responsibility.
I think so.
Yep, yes, sir. And as I wrote in my emails back to where you said you won't discuss this, I said, this is not a problem. This has never been a problem. I have never made a unilateral decision without this board approval, ever, and never intend to. This was semantics, bad word choice. It was not an intent to become king, a ruler for the day, queen for the day, whatever it turns you on. Without my intent. So the issue to me is a moot point. Fix it ever how you want it. Get the list and lunch to be ready at
11:30. We've used that language about negotiating approval dozens of times, for most everything else coming through this board. Why is this one different?
I just think it may provide an opportunity for something that will the board might future board might look back on and say I wish we'd have had a final sign off on that. That's all.
I move that we change it to negotiate and recommend.
Second.
Motion made by Director Ellison, seconded by Director Martin. Can we read the amended resolution? Oh, I guess we need to vote on it.
I'll read it and then you can vote.
We need to vote on the amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we need to do that?
It's already there.
It's fixed. All I got this changed. All I got is read it.
Oh, get it done.
Read it. Yes. Board hereby resolved that the Tustin Kingdom Committee recommends to the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority adoption of the following proposed resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager / CEO to negotiate and recommend development proposals submitted by developers during the time prior to adoption of the Tustin Kingdom Master Plan.
Is there a motion on the floor?
I move.
So moved by Director Ellison, seconded by Sal Zaccanino. Please poll the committee.
Director Beer?
Yes.
Director Martin?
Yes.
Director Ellison?
Yes.
Director Garcia?
Yes.
Director Thompson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Presiding Officer Pena?
Yes.
Director Ballard?
Yes. All right, that concludes our business. Before we have a motion to adjourn, is there anybody that has any comments?
I have a comment. I was one of the lucky few that got to go up to the bikes and trail ride, and it was outstanding. If you haven't had a chance to see it, it was great. Sitting on this board for the last 5 or 6 years or 60 years or however many it's been, it was wonderful to be in a positive aspect at PK. And not to have tomatoes thrown at you, that was kind of cool too. But my hat's off to staff and to everyone that made that day possible. I think we needed the rain more than we needed the bike ride, and that was a good thing. My other comment is I truly hope, and I know people at PK get tired of hearing this and people on this board get tired of hearing this, but we are here to serve the people of the state. And I truly, truly hope that we can limit our resources to all the projects in the state and not be so time consumed on this one. And hopefully we have the plans and everything in place because, you know, I live in a district that would love a fourth of this time and effort, but I never push that. And I just appreciate the fact as a board that we can be here today because as a board and as an entity, it is time to move forward with this.
Now, I'd really like to thank everybody who's not on the committee who showed up. I appreciate the commitment to Possum Kingdom. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Call vote.